Hello and welcome to Father Figures, a show about parenting with an emphasis on fatherhood, uncommon fathers, fathers of all stripes. Here is where we explore the joys and griefs, the risks and rewards of being a dad. I'm your host, Stephen Amaya. In this episode, we're going to look at fatherhood from the perspective of someone who, like me, has looked at it with the thought that we're going to be the best dad ever. Well, that's a dream. Is there a father out there who doesn't want the best for his or her kid? Well, however much we try, there's going to be disappointment. My guest on this episode is a father of two who has made the effort to monetize fatherhood, an effort many make, and few to success. I'm always curious about how fathers manage. I can say my guest, Michael Findlay, is not without passion. We had a conversation recently via Zoom. Oh, first of all, welcome to Father Figures, Michael Findlay. It's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
What did you do for a living, and how old are you, and how many kids do you have?
Yeah, so I am 37. I'll be 38 later this summer. Mm-hmm. I have two kids who are currently 11 and 8, but later this summer they will be turning 12 and 9. And
a boy and a girl, or is it?
Boy and a girl, yes. Yeah, my oldest is a boy, my youngest is a girl.
Okay.
And I am currently the owner and founder of This Is Fatherhood LLC, This Is Fatherhood blog, and I'm a parent educator and advocate for fatherhood. Yeah. I love being a dad, and just as much, I feel like I love talking with other dads and parents about raising our kids. Okay. And so I come from a nonprofit background. I worked with Smart Reading for almost 8 years and Gilbert House Children's Museum in Salem before that, and was able to start my business, This Is Fatherhood, while with Smart Reading. And it got to be big enough that I could venture out on my own. And so now I am a small business owner, contractor, trying to support and connect parents and dads with resources, encouragement, and connecting with other parents like them.
That's great. Yeah, that's hard work, you know, making all those connections and getting...
It is. It's been a long, slow build. So my business has been around since 2017, and I was able to go full-time in 2021. Mm. And it's funny because I'm also back working with Smart Reading part-time and continuing to support them as one of my contracts as well.
Okay. And you're doing that from home?
Yeah, mostly virtually with most of my contracts. I actually have two in-person dads groups in Washington County and Columbia County, where we get together once a month as dads and also get together with our kids and families from time to time as well.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. You get together at someone's house or...
No, typically community places. So we've gone to libraries with the dads. We've gone to some really fun places like Topgolf and axe throwing and restaurants. And then with our kids, we typically get together and do some fun STEAM and STEM-based activities that kids get to play with robots and learn more about insects and do fun things at community spaces.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Now, you homeschool your kids, right?
My wife homeschools my son, and then my daughter is in public school. She decided to go back to public school this year, and she had a great year and loved it. And then my son is very, very happy and content to be homeschooled.
Yeah, and well, I was perusing your website, and it mentioned that your wife has a master's in teaching.
She does. She is uniquely and impressively qualified, and she does a great job with homeschool. My daughter has at times been homeschooled, has at times been in public school, so it kind of depends on what's best for her at the time, and we kind of try to adjust and try to do what's best for us and what's best for her.
Yeah, okay. What was your father like?
My dad was a great dad. He was a basketball coach for most of my growing up. Mm-hmm. And so I played basketball. I played lots of sports. My dad was always very supportive and engaged.
Yeah.
He was also a basketball coach. So when we, you know, when me and my siblings, when we would get in trouble, we would hear the coach yell come out from time to time. And it's something that I have noticed with my parenting that I've gotta work on the yell, because sometimes I'll yell if I don't need to, and it's just kind of that natural that frustration. But I also have a lot of amazing, really fond memories with my dad, including I ended up being a baseball player. I played through high school and into college and loved baseball. And we would go out and play with a stick and wiffle balls in the backyard, me and my siblings. And every now and then, my dad would come out, ask to take a few swings.
Yeah.
He'd take a few really big swings. He was not a baseball player, but he actually had some power. And every now and then he'd hit one really far.
Oh, yeah. And wiffle balls are a blast to watch.
Yes, yes. And he would drop the bat and walk off with his hands held high. So it wasn't like playing a full game with us, but he'd come into our world, enjoy with us, and then walk off. It's just a memory that I finally have because, you know, it wasn't his sport, wasn't his thing, but he'd just show us like he cared about us and he wanted to do things with us. And
is he still around or has he passed?
Yes, he is.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
He retired from teaching after he was a high school, mostly high school and sometimes middle school teacher for 30 years, I believe.
Wow.
And is retired, but also still doing driver's ed. He is one of those saints that is doing amazing work with high school kids doing driver's ed, and he's continuing to do that into his retirement.
Oh, that's great. That sounds like fun. Yeah. How did he discipline you when you needed discipline?
Discipline, yeah. So discipline would be a little firmer. It would be... Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, raising voice. He would also try to make sure we understood what we needed to do better mm-hmm. instead.
That's good.
And, you know, but also focused on stopping the behavior that he didn't want to see.
Right.
My siblings and I will all have different accounts, too, of discipline. I was and still am a perfectionist. So I made mistakes, but I tried really hard and I was just flat embarrassed and devastated anytime I made a mistake. So I tried really hard not to make them. My siblings were a little more rebellious, adventurous. They were really good kids, but there were times where like, you know, I'm going to fight you on this. I'm going to push back.
What's the best part of being a dad?
The best part of being a dad is watching them grow, watching them learn new things, and celebrating the amazing successes that they have, while also being with them in the down moments and seeing them be sad and upset and frustrated, but also learn how to overcome those down moments and see that resilience and strength build in them. I love celebrating with them and seeing them do amazing things. My son's playing baseball, just had an amazing season. It was really fun to watch. And almost even more amazing was the fact that he has a better attitude in a sport that has a lot of failure like baseball than I ever did. And he's only 11 years old. He's already to the point where he's like, struck out. All right, I'm going to get the next one.
Yeah.
Whereas I, the perfectionist, would have been dwelling on that strikeout for like two more innings.
Oh, yes. The benches would have cleared.
Yeah. And so it's amazing to see the people that they become and the good qualities that you hope you help encourage in them and the things that they just come up with on their own and develop. Like, no, that's them. They're just their own amazing person.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing my daughter too, you know, deal with, you know, difficulties and struggles with friends and just with so much compassion and kindness while sticking up for herself. Those have been some of the most amazing parts, just seeing them grow and develop into these little people that they're becoming, and how strong they are. That's the best part of the journey.
Yeah. The strength that they acquire is really, really impressive sometimes.
For sure.
From perusing your website, I also, I see that your faith in God is essential to your fatherhood, and Were you raised in the church?
Yes, yeah. I was baptized when I was 8 years old. So we started going to church more regularly when we moved in next to our neighbors who invited us. And so when I was 8, I was baptized and became a Christian, and my siblings and parents all baptized us around a similar time.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, you know, my my walk is up and down and trying to make sure I'm always trying to figure out how can I put him more central, more first. And my fatherhood journey, and actually my business especially, I really come back to what I feel like I had a call and a Moses moment where, as my son was on the way, my wife was doing all this research and preparing and all this, and she's looking over at me, and I was really excited. My brother was born when I was 8 years old, and so I had a baby and little kids around from a very young age. So I've always loved being around little kids, and it was because of him. And I really enjoyed him, and I just have always enjoyed little kids. So I couldn't wait to be a dad, but I wasn't doing like the things that she was doing, and she was wondering. So I was like, okay, I'll start looking into it. And one book that I really loved was Bad Dads of the Bible. And while reading it and during kind of the process of that, I was like, man, there's all this great stuff for moms, but there's not as much stuff for dads out there. And I heard this call, this voice like, you do it. I was like, oh, no, that's not me. I'm not a small group leader. And I kept hearing that, you do it. And that same kind of Moses, like, oh, no, you can't mean me. I can't speak in front of people. That's not me. And so eventually I reached out. I started a father's group at my church. I listened to that call. I loved it. I loved connecting with and talking with other dads as much as I loved being a dad, and found this calling, this passion that I really like. I had these other jobs and things that I'd done since baseball, but nothing that was really that true calling and passion like this. And then once I started that father's group, it went for a few years, was successful, had some great friends in there. I started getting opportunities and offers to learn parenting support and education and curriculum. My first one that I got trained in was Boot Camp for New Dads, and I'm still with them today. I'm now in a capacity working with their headquarters and helping to recruit dads and keep moving the work forward. And then I got trained in other curriculum. I just like, this is what I love. This is what I want to keep doing, specifically dad stuff, but also general parenting, just connecting with other parents, talking about our kids. And so that business started in 2017 and is still going today. And it started with that call of like, you do it. Don't just wait for somebody else. You do it.
Also, you have some health issues that you've mentioned on the website, mental health issues. I've gone
For
through
me,
some too, and it's really a challenge.
it is a big challenge. And one of the things that was probably the toughest is overcoming that stigma of men and mental health and growing up in a sports culture, which a lot of it I loved, and a lot of it was rather difficult. And, it's suck it up. It's pushing through. Don't let them see you cry. Like,
Don't rub it.
don't rub. Exactly. All that stuff, which can be somewhat helpful in certain aspects of sports, is really not helpful for, okay, now I'm off the field. And I've still got all of these feelings, emotions, things going on, which I know also a lot of guys are like, well, I'm not supposed to have feelings. I'm here to say I have a lot of feelings, a lot of emotions. I don't lose them all. And I've learned that I don't have to give attention to all of them. And they can still be like, yeah, this is how I feel in this moment. It's here today, gone tomorrow. I don't have to give it all the attention. It's been a heck of a long journey, though, to get to this point. And I had some amazing pastoral counseling before, and then was able to really figure out and find exactly what was more difficult for me, and pinpoint and get at a diagnosis of OCD, specifically with ruminating thoughts, and not being able to just, how some people have these, just where did that thought come from? And all right, I can move on now. My perfectionist, my OCD, diagnosed OCD, not the verb OCD where you say, oh, I'm a little OCD. Like, no, this is true OCD,
Yes, it's a
diagnosed
medical condition,
by a therapist, that I can't stop ruminating on it. And I'm talking like hours on end where I can't get that thought out of my head. And does it say something about me? Am I this terrible person because I've had just this singular thought?
Have
And
you ever
so,
experienced the imposter syndrome?
A little bit. Yeah, I think that's gone along with it a little bit as well. Like, you know, somebody's gonna find me out.
Right. I think it goes with all entrepreneurs. I really do.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And so for me, it's been finally finding, you know, I still am seeing a OCD specific therapist every couple of months, and it has been amazing to work with that person and see the change in how OCD doesn't go away, but it's grip lessons, and it feels more like I'm in control of it more than it is in control of me, which is how it used to feel.
Now, I forgot to ask you, where were you born?
I actually was born in and raised in the Portland area. I lived the first couple of years of my life in Vernonia, where my
Oh,
dad was
yeah.
basketball coach. And then, but we mostly lived in Portland through that. He actually, another thing about him is he decided to give up his head coaching job as my siblings and I were getting older so he could be a part of more of our stuff. That's something I always remember. He gave up something he loved so he could be around more for ours, coach us, and support us through our events. But I actually live now in the same neighborhood that I have most of my core memories from, like
Oh,
eight
wow.
Beaverton, Portland, Hillsboro area. It's been really cool to see too. So like a lot of I grew up playing in this local baseball league and area, and seeing my son in that same league and going to potentially the same high school and some of the same schools. It's really cool to be able to see that and to relive and enjoy it and share that new joy through him.
I made a note also from your website. Let me guess, you've been diagnosed with major depression disorder and social anxiety disorder.
I definitely have a diagnosis of depressive disorder. Yes. The ang gen mine is generalized anxiety, but yeah.
It's weird to walk into a room of strangers, and feel good about yourself. That's my
Yes.
experience anyway.
Yeah, it's interesting because my high school self, if they could see me now, would be just mortified and like, how did you do it? Like, because I speak in front of people, whether that's small groups, sometimes bigger groups, all the time. It's like a main part of my job, and I just have this comfort level with it now. It comes from, I love what I do and what I'm talking about, so the passion just flows naturally. But even in high school, like, doesn't matter if I was talking about something I was passionate. I just had this big fear of talking in front of people, and I'm an introvert at heart, and so there are times, even with my own dad's groups, which I love, that I have to push myself. I'm like, okay, you're gonna enjoy this once you get there. You're gonna be fulfilled and happy once you're done and on your way back. But right now, in the interim, I'm like, I just want to stay home. I just want to be by myself. And so
That's
it's
my
a little
hobby.
bit of, yeah, it's a little bit of pushing myself and reminding myself, like, your introverted self will say no, but you'll feel better after. So go do it. And that helps.
Are you going to have more children?
No,
No, you've
we
decided.
love and enjoy and appreciate our two, and that is what we're gonna stick with.
Yeah, that's
So,
good. That's good. It's yeah, only children are different than children with siblings.
I've had some friends and colleagues that were only children as well, and I think it's a different growing up. There's some difficulties and there's some real benefits too.
One of the major problems with parenting in general is time management, and yeah, it's a lot easier when you're homeschooling because you don't have to go pick them up and drop them off and take them places and
My schedule also, I have my kids and I have joked, I have about, we've lost count. It's like somewhere between 7, 8, 9, 10 contracts, different jobs that I have with different organizations. But for the most part, since it's a lot of virtual and it's contracts, I set my hours. And so I'm able to really try to be intentional with picking up and dropping off my daughter at school as much as I can. Being with my son during the middle of the day and playing Minecraft with him during the middle of the day. Being available most evenings. A lot of my groups and classes are on evenings, but most evenings to be there for sports and being able to coach and assist and help out. That's super important to me because like my jobs are important. I've got to be able to support my family, but you know, I want to support my family with myself, with my presence and with how I'm engaged as well. And for me, especially like my career of being a parent educator and a supporter of fathers, like I have to walk the walk. I can't just say, hey, you should do this and not do it myself. Like there's, I have to be like, no, I'm doing this too. I'm struggling along this journey and trying to be the best dad that I can be.
Yeah.
And another thing that my wife and I do that I think has really helped is we try to, as often as we can, find time to be with each kid individually. We actually, once or twice a year, we'll have like a kid date just for the whole night where each of us will take a kid and we'll just hang out with them, have dinner, dessert, do fun things just with that kid. And then we switch. And then the next night it's the other kid.
So that's cool.
Yeah. So that we get individual direct attention with them doing the things that they love and the things that they love doing with us so that we can keep kind of fostering that relationship. Because especially during sports, like when I was assisting my son, I could see my daughter's at school. And so I'm able to be with him a little bit more because he's homeschooled. And then at sports, she was craving more time with me because I was getting really busy. And so we're coming up on one of those kid dates now, and I'll be looking forward to spending more time with her.
Yeah. What would your father think of you now?
You know, it's... he has told me, and I really appreciate this. He's really proud of me. And actually one of those moments that, got me a little, teary-eyed was he went to one of his normal, doctor's appointments, checkups. And in the office that he was going to, the doctor had a flyer posted up. That was one of my flyers. Cause I'm doing work all throughout the state. That was one of my flyers recruiting and just trying to support dads and parents in his community virtually. And he looked and said, hey, that's my son. He's putting that on. He's doing this. And so he just, you know, without any prompting, he immediately texted me and said, hey, it's pretty cool to see your flyer up. Really proud of the work you're doing. And so that was really awesome to hear. It got me a little emotional thinking about that. So
you know, it's really fun to talk to dads. And find the common things and the unique things that may pop up later, you know?
No, I really enjoy this. I love any chance to talk about my journey, fatherhood. Like I said, I have two amazing kids, and I'm really blessed, too, to have a wonderful wife. Not only is she a homeschool teacher for my kids, but she's been caretaker for her grandma, and she is also, like, this is fatherhood. My business is a one-man enterprise. It's me being the contractor, the parent educator, the supporter. But behind all of that is her. She is my tax preparer. She is like my confidant. She is my blog editor. She helps everything in the business, and it wouldn't run without her. So I have to give her a shout out for that.
Now, have you noticed that you live in a world of mommies?
You know, yes, especially because I was in the nonprofit world for so many years before this. Like, so I was, you know, young male in a world, children's museums and then volunteer management and schools dominated by women and females. And, you know, for good reason, and doing amazing work. And it was like, hey, there's another guy. And definitely in parenting, education, and support, I've seen a lot of the same.
All right. Well, Michael, it's been good talking to you.
You as well. You as well. Thank you for talking with me, for inviting me here. And then I'm also working with Northwest Parenting, which supports Columbia, Clatsop, and Tillamook counties. And we've done more in Columbia. Like I said, we have an in-person dads group. And then I just did an in-person workshop in Tillamook, and we're hoping to bring one to Clatsop soon as well, because we want to see more support for dads in each of those counties. So I'm hoping in the future that I can be out there more doing other stuff as well. This is about lifting each other up. This is about collaboration, supporting each other.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And you're certainly doing that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, Michael, I guess I'll let you get back to your family.
Awesome. Stephen, this was great. Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Michael. I want to say something about how nobody gets out of parenthood without spending lots and lots of money. Consequently, depending on our own personal situations, this presents a challenge. And most of us, Mr. Findlay included, and myself as well, achingly always have a sense that what we provide is the best we can do. But we always want to do something more. Raising children is hard and expensive. Trust me, I'm worn down and poor. My kid's 33, but I'm still dad and will always be. Duh. You know this. It's obvious. What it means is the existence of love. It's as simple as that. Now, there are people who can't check off that box. They can't or won't. How deeply one feels is another matter. The opportunities to be close, among adults as well as children, are not always open for business depending on age and circumstance. Adolescence, midlife crisis, take your pick. I think adults grow as they age, just like children, yet we adults tend to look at ourselves as fixed maturity-wise and learning-wise. Our brains have around 90 billion neurons for us to grow on. Try them on for size. The challenges of aging are slowing me down, and that's why it was good to hear Michael and his optimism. It's been a while since I was as hands-on a father as he is these days. I want to thank Jason Shaw of Audionautix.com for the music, and CC Blanca for production assistance. And of course, thanks again to Michael Findlay for his participation. I must also thank Angie Fitzpatrick of Baby Blues Connection, a nonprofit focusing on postpartum issues. They provide free peer support, resources, and hope for parents struggling with positive mental health after welcoming a child into their lives. Angie's been a wonderful resource. If you'd like to get in touch with me, please send along an email. I'm at RadioRanchero@gmail.com. That's RadioRanchero@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Well, let's go out with a little daddy music, shall we? A little cool jazz for fathers out there. Enjoy the last minute of the show in this musical interlude. And stay tuned.